three public hearings. We will consider three bills.
Public hearing, we have them first.
Okay, we're going to change the order slightly and do the public hearing on Senate Bill 59. Modifies requirement for examinations of applicants for licensing by the State Board of Psychological Examiners. So, if you want to come up.
Review the.
Thank you, Senator Morissette. Senate Bill 59 allows the Oregon Board of Psychologist Examiners to set the licensing examination by rule. As just some background, the board was created basically to license psychologists and protect the populace from unqualified practitioners. And there's currently about 1,200 licensees overseen by the board. The board currently conducts a written and oral examination for potential licensees as specified by statute. The board, I understand, is seeking this change to give them some flexibility as the kind of national licensing entity has established or is coming up with new types of licensing or examination processes, and the board wants to have some flexibility to kind of adjust theirs by rule.
Do we have it? Oh. Do we have it? Here's the meeting. That's right. Yes. Okay. Welcome. Would you like to identify yourself, please?
Good afternoon, Chairman Morissette and members of the committee. My name is Martin Piccioni. I'm the Executive Director for the Board of Psychologist Examiners, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify today on Senate Bill 59 on behalf of the Chair of the Board, Dr. Vector of Eugene, and the Vice Chair of the Board, Dr. Dale of Portland. I regret that neither can be with us today in person, but I would like to simply convey their and my gratitude to the committee for hearing these bills so expeditiously, and obviously the board members will be happy to answer questions at a future hearing should that become necessary. But I'm also very pleased to be joined here at the podium next to me by Dr. Cliff Johansson, a practicing psychologist representing the Oregon Psychological Association, who serves as liaison from OPA to the board. And both the board and the OPA appear before you today in strong support of the bill. And Mr. Chair, with your consent, I would like to give Dr. Johansson opportunity to briefly state his testimony, since he has another commitment coming up shortly. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairman Morissette, members of the committee. I'm Dr. Cliff Johansson. I'm a licensed psychologist in the state of Oregon. I'm the past president of the Oregon Psychological Association, and I'm currently serving as the liaison between the Oregon Psychological Association and the Oregon Board of Psychologist Examiners. I'm here to strongly support both of these bills, SB 59 and SB 60. We have been working with the licensing board over the course of the last year to try to refine and improve our licensing exam procedures, and this is a very excellent proposal as far as we're concerned. The oral examination has sometimes been a bone of contention. It hasn't always been the sort of thing that everyone felt comfortable with, and I think giving the Board of Psychologist Examiners the flexibility to have either an oral examination or a written examination, or maybe something else that emerges over time, I think would give them the ability to both meet the needs of the psychology profession and protect the public from unscrupulous acts of some psychologists. So, the second bill, Senate Bill 60, this is a bill that was submitted before the legislature last session, and again, this session we are supporting it as we did before. This allows the Board of Psychologist Examiners to maintain jurisdiction in cases where the psychologist surrenders their license And the undesirable effect of this is that such a person can then move to another jurisdiction and become licensed and practice and potentially harm citizens of other jurisdictions. So I think this is a fairly standard kind of statute, and you'll find it, I believe, in other disciplines, licensing laws. So.
Okay, thank you. We're having the public hearing on Senate Bill 59, so we'll deal with that, and then we'll open up the other one after
okay.
a little bit later. So there are questions. Are there questions?
Yes, Mr.
Yes.
Chair. Could you go to of the bill, go to page 2, section 3. Why did you have to eliminate 16 through 21?
I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't see the
you're on page 2 line.
Bill. Mm-hmm. Line 16. It's just going into describing what the oral examination will be. Does this mean you're just getting rid of the oral exam and it'll just be a written exam, or you just want to get rid?
Mr. Chair, Senator Montes Anderson, I will be happy to answer that question either now, or I can go through the testimony that I have prepared first. I can either way.
Well,
it's your pleasure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Basically, the core idea of this bill is to take out the level of specificity governing the examination process for licensure for psychologists in Oregon. And yes, one of the reasons this particular section was taken out was specifically to allow the board to move away from having an oral examination. It's one of several sections that was taken out. There really are two sets of issues for the board, really two driving factors that are in the board's mind in bringing this bill before you. One has to do with the ongoing issues relative to professional mobility, and the second one has to do with the national licensing environment, which keeps changing and quite frankly speaking, in the psychology profession, is very much moving away from an oral examination. So there are some issues that are specific to the oral exam because other jurisdictions are moving away from the oral exam. There's an increase in controversy both in the state and nationally relative to that exam. And the board would like to have the flexibility to look at options to develop a replacement for the oral exam. Beyond that, though, there is a tie-in to this other issue of professional mobility, because many of the mobility vehicles that are present in the psychology profession still have an oral exam requirement, and Oregon basically has been taking a kind of a dual-track strategy of lobbying nationally at the national level to change the professional mobility requirements to remove the oral exam requirement, and at the same time trying to come to you and saying, can we please have more flexibility so that we can, you know, design an alternative to the oral exam and essentially accomplish both, you know, getting a replacement exam and still maintain the progress that Oregon has made over the past several years on the professional mobility front. I know that's a little bit arcane and complicated, but those two things are interconnected, and it's an important part of why the board is coming before you today.
Thank you.
So the purpose then is to allow the flexibility of doing both, or
that's right. Basically, basically what the purpose of the bill is to essentially allow the board to set the details of, you know, what the content and what the type of the examination is by rule. However, I want to note very specifically, you know, I think there's several members of this committee that have been here in prior sessions and were part of certain statutory changes to the examination process that were designed to protect applicants' rights. And if you read the bill carefully, generally, those sections have been maintained. I'm talking about, you know, specifically the issues of, you know, if you fail a portion of the exam that you only need to retake that portion of the exam and not the whole exam, access to the record of the exam. These types of statutory changes that have occurred over time are retained in this bill because we want to send a very clear message that we're solely interested in gaining some flexibility in the type and content and not touch the issues that have to do with applicants' rights in the process.
I guess in some ways it seems kind of strange because when I graduated from college, I had to take an oral and a written exam, mm-hmm. comprehensive, over everything I'd done in those fields. And I thought that was kind of standard procedure. But
Senator Morissette, I think that psychologists on their way to the license will have already completed several of those oral exams. And just at the doctoral level, they'll have an advancement to candidacy exam and then a final before they leave.
But, okay, explain to me one more time why there is a problem with the oral exam. I don't comprehend.
I think there are a number of parties in the psychology professions who simply feel that an oral exam is not as valid and as fair, I guess, of a process as, for example, a written examination were to provide. And the board simply is asking for flexibility from the legislature to really take a look at, you know, these arguments and moving in a direction of replacing the oral exam, given the fact that, you know, that nationally a number of jurisdictions have moved in that direction, and that from a professional ability point of view, having an oral exam is becoming increasingly less necessary to maintain the ability of psychologists to participate in these mobility vehicles. So we're basically trying to both do a better exam as well as, you know, maintain the progress that we've made on the professional mobility front. Those are really the two big things for us.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Just to let you know, nurses don't take an oral exam when they have to get their licenses.
Okay.
But I don't know if physicians have to.
I
don't think they do, but just FYI.
Well, I think the written exam in general would be more comprehensive and more complete, I would imagine.
Senator Morissette, it's also more difficult to make it standardized and be clear about what it's measuring. So.
Yeah? Okay. Well, that's why I think having to do both would be better, but I guess they've already done that. Okay. Any other comments or questions? Okay. One other question. Who among you is opposed to this bill, if anyone? Is there opposition within your group?
Senator Morissette, as far as I know, there is no opposition that the Oregon Psychological Association has become aware of.
Are you aware of opposition? Do we have other people testify? Okay,
I'm not going to.
So you have only friends, no enemies.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we're not aware of any opposition to this bill.
Good. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay. Now we have Senate Bill 60. Yeah, we close 59 and we'll open the public hearing on Senate Bill 60.
Okay. I'll briefly describe the bill. Senator, members of the committee, this is also with the Oregon Board of Psychology Examiners, and it allows them to proceed with an investigation and disciplinary proceedings against a person whose license is lapsed, suspended, or revoked. The board currently receives about 60 formal consumer complaints a year relating to unethical or unlicensed practice of psychology. And these issues often have to do with any number of problems, including sexual clients, custody evaluations, parole evaluations, etc. Approximately 5 to 10% of the complaints are resolved by the board, and they result in some disciplinary action. And because it also often takes several months for the board to complete an investigation, there are times when a licensee will allow their license to lapse, which limits the ability of the board to pursue formal sanctions.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you again for the opportunity to testify on this bill, and again, I also appreciate the support of the Oregon Psychological Association on this bill.
Identify yourself one more time.
My name is Martin Piccioni. I'm the executive director for the Board of Psychologist Examiners, and with me here today, again, is Dr. Cliff Johansson, representing the Oregon Psychological Association. Very briefly speaking, this is a bill that deals with the statutory authority for the board in the disciplinary process, and it is important to at least very briefly give you the context for this bill. The board receives roughly about 60 consumer complaints per year that relate to either the unethical or unlicensed practice of psychology, and those issues involve, you know, anything from the very serious allegations of licensees having sex with clients and other boundary violations to improperly conducted custody or other mental health evaluations, problems with therapy, treatment plans, dual relationship issues, and so on. Now, it's important to keep in mind what the procedure is once a complaint has been filed with the board. The first is a review process that is conducted by the staff investigator who interviews the complainant, the licensee, any relevant parties, and requests production of documents. And upon conclusion of that initial investigation, there's a written report that's submitted by the full board. And after the board essentially evaluates all the facts before it, there is then a decision whether or not, you know, the board's going to go forth and actually issue a letter detailing specific allegations to the licensee with an opportunity for response. And once that response is received, the board then decides whether or not a sanction is warranted or whether such a decision should be delayed further until an independent expert retained by the board is consulted. What that means, in a nutshell, is that there is a pretty extensive and involved process necessary before the a proposed disciplinary action would be issued. And that proposed disciplinary action really is the first time that a public document is generated from these proceedings. The bill before you today really is intended to address essentially a loophole in the jurisdiction for the board. This board has year-end licensure renewal, which means that if somebody, due to the two process provisions, if a licensee gets notified, you know, a month or two before the renewals are due, that a complaint has been filed and decides that it would be in his or her interest to not renew the license, i.e., let the license lapse, then the board no longer has the authority to pursue an investigation and create a potentially a public record of discipline. And that's a real problem, because even though this person then with a lapsed license could no longer practice in Oregon, or at least we hope that person would discontinue to practice in Oregon, it still is an issue because that person doesn't have anything official on his or her record and can go to another state, whether it's, you know, the neighboring Washington state, where that person could set up practice and potentially see Oregon consumers, or another state seeing other states' consumers. And when that state inquires about that person's record in Oregon, we could not disclose the fact that, you know, this person lets, you know, his or her license lapse under potentially questionable circumstance, because there is no public record. The process wasn't finished. This particular loophole has been closed by several boards in this state, and basically this board would very much like to move in that direction, particularly before we have a problem, as opposed to after we have a public problem and we get asked questions of why didn't you, you know, address this issue earlier, and why didn't you, you know, why did you get into this situation in the first place? So we'd like to be proactive and deal with this issue.
Questions?
Good bill, should pass.
Did you have something? Any other comments?
Senator Morissette, members of the committee, I pretty much said my my comments out of order.
Oh, that's right. Well, if you wanted to put them on the record, that's fine.
Sure. Well, it's just that the Oregon Psychological Association does support this bill. We find that it has credibility, and we think it will make a good contribution to the standing of psychologists in Oregon.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 60. Thank you very much for being here.
So we're not alone.
Yeah, we're going to be out of here before dark, before sunset.
We can go back. I can go back to my other committee that's still going on.
Your other committee? What other committee?
Transportation. I mean, economic development.
Okay. Senate Bill 58. Senate Bill 58. Yeah, go ahead and give a... I open the public hearing, and would you give a summary of the bill, please?
Thank you, Senator. Senate Bill 58 has to do with the Board of Naturopathic Examiners and allows them to maintain an injunction against any person who violates licensing requirements to practice naturopathic medicine in Oregon, and also allows the board to impose a civil penalty up to $5,000 for each violation. In brief, naturopathic medicine is defined as a system of diagnosing and treating the human body, maintaining and restoring to a state of normal health. A licensed naturopathic doctor or MD can conduct certain diagnostic procedures, uses many recognized acceptable physical and laboratory examinations, drawing blood, collecting body fluids, etc. To be a licensed MD in Oregon, a person must graduate from approved naturopathic college that offers a resident four-year course of over 4,000 hours and meet qualifications of the board. The board also oversees examination, licensing, and monitoring of doctors, which includes reviewing qualifications, imposing actions, disciplinary actions, assessing fees. Current statute limits the actions that the board can take against individuals who practice naturopathic medicine without a license and the penalties that can be assessed against these individuals.
Thank you. Welcome, Dr. Garcia.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I have a page of testimony that I would just like to read for the record.
Okay.
It's a privilege to testify to you about this Senate bill. I've been serving on the board for over 4 years, mm-hmm. and we've had almost every year a number of complaints about individuals claiming to be naturopathic doctors, either through Yellow Page ads or on business cards, mm-hmm. Business flyers that don't qualify or meet our statutory requirements. Because the initials ND are used internationally, sometimes it's somebody from another country who comes, but our mission in terms of protecting the public requires that they be notified. There are also complaints about individuals who may have been at one time licensed, and that license has not been renewed, sometimes for years, or they never achieved licensure through our board exams. And these individuals are also apparently treating patients. We get complaints from a variety of either pharmacies, as an example, who are getting prescriptions from these individuals. Our current statute, ORS 685, does not give the board, I want to emphasize the word clear authority, that we can investigate non-licensees. Our statute says that, we have authority over licensees and over applicants for licensees. But in this situation, these types of complaints, the AG's opinion has been that it's not clear, and that's what the purpose of this bill is for. We would like to essentially strengthen our ability to enforce ORS 685-020, which defines who is qualified to practice naturopathic medicine in the state of Oregon. The other thing that Senate Bill 58 does is it imposes civil penalties not to exceed $5,000. I believe that this is in line with other health-related boards as far as imposing civil penalties. Our current limit right now is $1,000, which... it's probably been $1,000 for perhaps one or two decades. So we wanted to catch up to the 21st century on the expenses with that. And then finally, I just would say that generally in terms of investigations of our licensees, that we are very receptive to when their attorney or they themselves wish to settle. So I'm sure that we will continue that policy with non-licensees as well. We're not looking to create hearings necessarily. So that's really all I have. I want to introduce Ann Walsh, who's the executive director on my right of the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners. And then I also want to introduce Michael Reed, who's an attorney and is a public member and has served on the board for
5 years.
5 years as well. So if there's any questions related to our bill, please feel free to.
Did you have?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to know how many complaints have you gotten in a year's time on people who are claiming to be naturopathic examiners, or what do you call it? Yeah, examiners. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, Senator Anderson, Ann and I have totaled the number of complaints that we've had, and I would say our high water mark for the total number of complaints in one particular year was 30. And of those, I would estimate we might have 3 or 4 that are related to this type of situation.
Okay.
The most concern that I have is with practitioners who had an active license, let it expire, and then we get complaints, you know, sometimes it's been, you know, 3-4 years later that are still treating patients. And our bill is really looking that we can have authority over those types of individuals.
Okay.
Another question. How much does it cost to maintain your license?
Mr. Chair, Senator Anderson, the fee for a licensure is a biannual fee, and currently it's $550 for 2 years.
So it made sense for them to not worry about a fine. Okay.
Who do the complaints usually come from? Are they from other practitioners who notice that someone is practicing? Are they from patients who don't see a license on the wall, or both?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, the complaints, anyone can file a complaint,
yeah.
But commonly from this, it's from our own licensees.
Yeah.
That they see someone they may have recognized who perhaps graduated from the National College of Naturopathic Medicine but never applied for licensure. And also we get complaints from pharmacies. That you know, there's someone writing prescriptions that, you know, is not does not have an active license, and so they submit that to us. We also get complaints from people looking in the Yellow Pages. There was one in Eastern Oregon several years ago that said they were an MD and had no qualifications that we could accept that would allow them to be that. And I don't recall who submitted that complaint.
Mm-hmm.
That was a consumer complaint.
You mentioned someone coming from a foreign country with the ND after their name, which might have meant something different, or I didn't understand your reference.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, we have reciprocity with the state of, there's probably 15 different states that we have reciprocity with, as well as Canada. Mm-hmm. But there are many places where someone may say they're an ND. Australia comes to mind, and their standards for using that title are different than Oregon's.
Okay.
So unless they right. at least have our minimum qualifications, we don't they're not able to use that here in the state.
I see. Thank you. Other comments from Ann or from Mike? Did you want to make any comments?
Okay. Senator Morissette, members of the committee, I support this amendment.
Okay.
I'm here to answer questions, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you.
So, Mr. Chair, there's no known opposition from anybody?
Only those who don't have a regular license. And they're not here. They're out there practicing.
I wonder why.
Yes, Mr. Chair and Senator Anderson, I'm not aware of anyone who opposes this bill. The Oregon Association of Naturopathic Physicians or anyone has not come against this.
Good. Thank you. Okay, good. We will close the public hearing. We're not going to have a work session, which is unfortunate on this bill, because we could have, but we didn't. So we will have the work session. If you want to be there when we post it, that's fine. I don't know that we would. Would we normally open a public hearing first?
Yes.
And yeah, of course, yeah, okay.
We may have other members of the committee.
Yeah, other members of the committee. So anyway, we will post the public hearing and work session when we hear it again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.